And we start a new series today called New Year, Fresh Start. But before we get into that, I want to quickly touch base on something that happened at our Christmas Eve service. And some of you know that we combined with the other campus at 63rd Avenue and Peoria for Christmas. We get together twice a year on Christmas and then at the Super Bowl of Preaching, which is coming up next month. You'll hear more about that soon. But what I specifically wanted to draw your attention to is we ask you to invite friends and family because we don't know what God will do through a simple invitation. And 133 people came forward to give their life to Jesus on that during that Christmas Eve service. I mean, that's pretty incredible. So you never know what God might do through a simple invitation. So invite your friends, invite your family. You never know when they're going to say yes. So continue to be an inviter and an includer. So well, let's go ahead and pray, and let's jump in, and let's see what the Lord has for us. Lord, a new year, fresh start. There's something about this time of year that we just begin to look at ourselves and try to make some plans on what life needs to look like moving forward. And Lord, as much as we try to interpret that, we want your wisdom as to what life looks like moving forward. And so my prayer is for each person here, as we're all going through our individual struggle, my prayer is this time next year that we will be different people, that faith would be revived and restored and stretched and grown. I pray that we would be different people in our relationships and how we handle stress, different people and how we function in anxiety, and different people, and just in who we are at our core, that you would continue the work that you started within us. Lord, my prayer is that you would shine your face on each person, that your hand would be extended to touch each person, and that we would be different. Amen. We would be transformed to be more like you is my prayer. Lord, for the offering, Lord, it is how we represent you. Lord, there are the ministries that we are involved with the children in India and the school that we have and the food drops that we do and the snack packs and backpack outreaches and India Angel Tree and all of those things that we try to just make the world a better place. And in doing so, we try to introduce people to Jesus. Lord, for all those who give, a blessing upon them as we put you first in all things, including our finances. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Well, hey, let's start off the new year with a new question. Where are you going this year? Or let's ask it this way. What is your vision for your future in 2024? What is your vision? Now, the reason why that's important is Proverbs says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Other translations say, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints. The idea is, when there is no vision, when there's no direction, you will go in any direction. Right. When there is no vision for your future, then you just go with the flow, you go with the drift. Let's kind of personalize this a little bit. Where there is no vision for your marriage, you might become a statistic. Where there is no vision for financial freedom, the lure of wanting more will constantly consume you. Where there is no vision spiritually, then you will become stagnant and you will begin to spiritually wither. Without vision for your future, you may just settle for less than what God has created you for. Where there is no vision, we cast off restraints and we will run full speed in any direction because we don't know where we're going. Author Lewis Carroll said it this way, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. Hey, if you don't know where you're going in 2024, pick a road, you'll get there. Doesn't matter because you don't know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. I love this quote from Craig Rochelle. I've shared it with you numerous times. He said that everyone ends up somewhere. A few people end up somewhere on purpose. And so we want to be people that at the end of 2024, that we end up somewhere on purpose, physically, financially, relationally, spiritually, at the end of 2024, end up somewhere on purpose, but purpose doesn't happen by accident. Proverbs 21 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. There's no quick way around this, right? If you find yourself in a season of life today that you're not particularly thrilled with, understand that the way out is the same as the way in. And the way that you got there was one small little step over large amounts of time that got you to where you are today. Well, if you want to get out, the way out is the same way in. It's one small positive step in a different direction. There's power, there's cumulative value in little things. Little things is what got you to where you are. Little things is what will get you to where you want to be. So what is your vision for your future in 2024? One of my wife's endearing qualities is that she has never met an expiration date that she agrees with. She grew up in a family where nothing goes to waste, and so this attitude has never left her. So a common conversation in our house happened again this past week. A common conversation in our house is something like this. Mom, the milk expired on December 18th. Can I still drink it? She's like, it's good, just drink it. Like, okay. Mom, the sour cream expired in November of 22. Just scrape off the juice and use it, right? We have cans of soup. I'm not exaggerating. We have cans of soup in our house that have been through three presidencies, right? I'm not exaggerating. So now, I don't know what the shelf life is on a can of soup, but a 10-year-old can of clam chowder cannot be good for you. That's what I'm thinking, right? And so she's never met a shelf life or an expiration date that she agrees with. And although my wife hates to admit it, everything has a shelf life. Everything has an expiration date, including you, including me, right? You have an expiration date that gets a little closer every day. Happy New Year. Let's close in prayer, all right? Right? It's the reality. Now, I know some of you younger 22-year-olds, you're like, expiration date. But just trust me. Trust me. Everyone has an expiration date. We've all asked the question, at least if you're over 30, maybe 35, we've all asked the question, where's the time gone? Right? It may seem like yesterday that you were walking down the aisle or you were bringing your first child home from the hospital. Or maybe you were starting off on a new career. And in reality, it's been 10, 20, 30 years. Because time goes by quickly. I don't know how it happened, but I turned 56 this year. But in my mind still says, you're 23. And so my mind writes checks my body can't cash. There are times when I am aimlessly wandering through the store, I find myself in front of the original 501 Buttonfly display item. And my mind says, get him. And my body says, oh, no. Because I left the 501 world a long time ago. Some of you relate, right? I went from 501s to 505s, right? And then it was 505 relax cut, you know, for the husky men out there, right? And then you moved out from 501s, and I think then I went into 550s. And then it was 550 loose, remember those? And now they have 560 athletic cuts. They keep putting different words on it, but the reality of it is what they're saying is you're a little chunky, right? That's what they're saying. And so it's like now it's 560 baggy, and when baggy fits like skinny, you got a problem. So this idea that time passes quickly, I don't know how I got to be 56. I asked my wife, I was like, what happened to us? Like, how did we get here? Time passes quickly. Right? It moves at a frantic pace. And God called it when he said this in James 4. He said, life is a vapor. It appears for just a short while. Yeah. That's here, and then it's gone. And then it passes away. And it's a visual metaphor that reminds us that all of our time, regardless of age, all of our time is limited. Right, and perhaps this is why from the moment that we can understand the concept of time, that we are consumed with time. So we ask questions like what time is it? Right? We have to know what time it is. We ask questions like, what time do we need to be there? And then when you're there, you're asked questions like, what time can we leave? Right? We want to know that. And we set alarms to remind us of a designated time. And some of you are never more conscious of time than when I'm preaching. I see you looking at your phone, looking at your watch, and you're thinking, is he on time? Is he going over time? Maybe he'll be under time. I'm not going to be under time. Just like Daniel, Ball Daniel, he's never under time. I'm not under time today. I'm just saying the way it is, right? I got you. So when you're young, remember, you count it up in time. When you're young, it was, in 3 years, I get to drive. Right. When you're old, you count down, in 3 years, I'll probably be in diapers, right? It's how age, somehow, it begins to change how we relate to time. When it comes to time, though, the question of what time is it, is not the question we should be asking. The more weighty question is, what am I doing with my time? It's not what time is it, but what am I doing with my time, or what am I doing with the time I have left? Because as the old adage goes, time flies, and because time flies, time is easily lost. Right. We've all lost track of time, right? And lose too much time, and you waste a day, and that's not a big deal. Sometimes it's needed. And you lose too many days, and you waste a week, but you'll recover. You waste too many weeks, you waste a month, you waste too many months, you waste a year, and you waste too many years, you have wasted a lifetime. Life does not come with a time guarantee. In other words, none of us knows how much time we really have left. And it's a reminder that time is running out. And we know this, like we know we're not going to live forever, but we live as if we're going to live forever. Right. We know we only have this finite amount of time, but we live as if we have this infinite amount of time. And it's why we say things like, I'll do it tomorrow, right? As if we're guaranteed tomorrow. I'm going to eat better tomorrow. I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. I'm going to spend more time with family tomorrow. I'm going to reconcile this strained relationship tomorrow. I'm going to get some counseling tomorrow. I'm going to deal with my issues tomorrow. Or we say things like, I'll get around to it later, or I'll address it when life settles down. Can I be the one to remind you that life does not settle down? Life is what it is. You move tomorrow is not guaranteed. The only thing that is guaranteed about time is this. Your time is limited, right? You will never find a treasure chest full of extra time. I know we say things like, when I find the time, as if there's this secret stash of time somewhere that we're just waiting to find. And when we find it, we're like, look at all the extra time I have. It doesn't work like that. Our time is limited. The other fact of time is that all of your time will be spent doing something. At the end of the day, no matter how much you plan or no matter how hard you try, you will never have time left over. Right. Like you can save on calories. You can save on sick days. You can save on vacation days. You can save money. But you can't save up time. You can't save time. All of your time will be spent doing something. And the third fact about time is, someone is going to determine how and where your time is spent. Now, some of your time you get to determine, right? But guess what? The moment you had a baby, those little 8-pound pooping machines, they are manipulators of time. Right? 3 kids, never once has one of our children been in bed 2 a.m., wake up hungry or with a dirty diaper and think, you know what? I'm going to give mom and dad some time to themselves. They are manipulators of time. Someone will determine how you spend your time. If you have a job, your boss or your company has a large say in how you spend your time. When you get married, you have given someone permission to your time. Regardless of who, someone will determine how and where your time is spent. Your time is limited. All of your time will be spent doing something, and someone will determine how your time is spent. And so all of that to say this at the beginning of 2024. Whatever it is you plan on doing with your life, you need to start today.
Amen.
Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Right. Time flies, time is lost. I love the way Scripture says it. Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days. In other words, teach us, because we do not do this instinctively. Right? So the psalmist writes, and in this case, it's Moses, who 100 Saturdays left. Well, yesterday's over, so 1,299 Saturdays left. That's a little sobering. I told my wife this yesterday. I did some math, and I have 1,300 Saturdays left to be with you. That's it. And she said, that much? That's not what I was expecting, right? Teach us to number our days. Listen, teach us to number our days so we do not get to the end of our days and realize we have wasted our days. Teach us to number our days. Why? Why? Please hear me. Because anytime we think we have an excess of something, we waste it. Do you know why 30% of the American food source is thrown out every year? Because we have an abundance. There's a grocery store on every corner, and the aisles are full of stuff. And anytime you have an abundance of anything, it's easy to waste it. Teach us to number our days, because our days are numbered. Several years ago, we moved onto a piece of property that's on a well, and you know what I have become keenly aware of is our water consumption. Because I don't know what's going on in the aquifer underneath the ground. And so now there is not this endless supply of water. So you come and stay at our house, you have 40 seconds to take a shower. Get in and get out. Like, I'm constantly yelling at the kids, stop drinking so much water. Have a Red Bull. That's what I tell them, right? Right? Because anytime there is an abundance of something, it's easy to waste it. It's easy to waste it. Teach us to number our days so we do not get to the end of our days and realize that we have wasted our days. So how do we make the most of 2024? How do we make the most of the time that we have left? I have four thoughts I want to give to you, and we'll build on these over the weeks to come. Here's my first one. You want to make the most of 2024? Here it is. Take responsibility for your life. Take full responsibility for your life. Whatever is in your past, whatever is in your future, own it. It may be the past from 10 days ago. It may be the past from 10 years ago. Own it. And this is not a popular concept today. My life is because of someone else. But listen, you cannot blame the government. You can't blame your teachers. You can't blame your ex-business partner. You can't blame your spouse. You can't blame your pastor. You have to accept responsibility for it. Listen, my best chance at a better future is to own my share of the past. I have to own my share of the past because I can never blame my way into a better future. But that's not the story we like to tell. We like to tell the story that paints me as a victim. I like to tell you the story that paints me as the victim, the helpless one in the story. I like to tell the story of how unfair someone was. We all like to. We want to tell the story of how dishonest our business partner was, or how poorly we were treated, or my ex said I do and then they said I don't, or we were fired for no good reason, or how bad my family situation was. And it turns into this idea of the blame game. Right, nothing's on me. And I'm not saying that some things were not done to you that you're completely innocent of, right? I mean, some evil things happen in the world, so don't get me wrong. But there are a lot of situations in life that we want to paint ourselves as the victim, but in reality, we had a part to play. It's the blame game. We've all played it, and we're really good at it. In the creation narrative, we see the blame game happening. God said, hey, you can do all of this, but don't do this. And what happened? Creation did this. And when sin entered the equation, we see in Genesis 3, but the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" Now catch this. And the man said, "Yeah, I did it. And I take full responsibility for my actions. Do with me as you will, but leave eat out of this. He's innocent." Right? That's what man said. That's not what we said. Right? Look at the blame game, verse 12. Then the man said, "The woman you put here with me." Go to verse 12. Is that it? Yeah. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Now catch what he's saying. He's like, this isn't on me. It's the woman. And not only is it the woman, but the woman you gave me. So if we want to be honest here, God, you're partially responsible for this. Right? So you gave her to me. So why don't you two go over there and deal with this, and I'll be waiting over here for an apology. Right, it's the blame game. Now catch this. For the first time, creation had a past. And the first thing they did with a soiled past was to blame someone else for their problems. Blame someone else for their future. Blame someone else for their past. Now here's what we should notice about this narrative. It was true. Adam's narrative was true, but it wasn't the whole truth. There was more to the story that went unsaid. And he told the part of the story that absolved himself from responsibility, which is what we like to do. It's partially true, but it's not completely true. And we do this all the time. We tell 85% of the story, the story that causes you to feel sorry for me. We tell 85% of the story, the part where I'm innocent, the part where they betrayed me. But here's the thing. If you tell 85% of the story long enough, you will eventually begin to believe that 85% is 100% of the story. But it's rarely 100% of the story. Take responsibility for your life. So let's do this. Let's take an honest assessment. What is the part that you played in all of this? Andy Stanley calls this the circle of blame. That means everything in this circle contributed to where you are today, contributed to your past. And the idea is to honestly and objectively ask yourself, what percentage of this problem, whatever the story is, what percentage of this problem is yours? And here's what we typically do. We say, okay, honestly and objectively, I looked and here's my part and there's their part. I got my part, I'm going to give me about 5% was my fault, 95% was their fault. But that's typically not the story, right? I know we like to say my boss was a blank. They fell in love with someone else. A coworker got me fired. They had anger issues. They took advantage. My business partner cheated. That's the story we like to tell, but there's more to the story. Here's, you had a feeling, right? You knew something was wrong, but you ignored the feeling. That's a part of the story we don't like to tell. I had a feeling, looking back, I knew something was wrong with him. I knew something was wrong with her, but I had a feeling the relationship was toxic. We all have this friend named something, right? And this is how we say, because something tells us the truth. We say stuff like this: something told me I shouldn't have done that. Right, we all have this friend named something, and something tells us the truth that we often don't want to hear, but we often ignore our friend something. Right, I thought something might be wrong, but I was afraid to dig for the truth. I had a feeling I shouldn't change jobs. I had a feeling they were lying. And hey, honestly, this is your part, meaning this chapter of your life could have been avoided if you would have listened to your own wisdom. Right. That's your part of the story. That's your part of the past. Here's another one. If I'm honest, I just didn't have a feeling, but I ignored the signs. It was more than just a feeling that I had. There were signs, there were red flags, and I ignored them because I wanted what I wanted. That's on me. That's on you. How do you keep the next time from being the same as the last time? You have to take responsibility for your part. In other words, you have to know what you were thinking back then that allowed you to do what you regret now. Because if you don't know what you were thinking back then, how do you know you're not thinking it now? You may be in the same repeat process, getting ready to make the same decision because you didn't know what you thought then and you're thinking it again today. I ignored the signs. Here's one. I ignored some good counsel. Mama told me he was a dog, and I ignored her, right? Because he looked good in all the right places, right? I ignored good counsel. I was told this is a bad investment. I was warned not to trust them. Her friends told me this was a bad idea, and I ignored good counsel. That's part of the story you need to take responsibility for. I need to take responsibility for. Listen, here's one. My priorities were off. I was a workaholic, or I was chasing the dollar, or I was trying to numb the pain by just seeking some sort of pleasure. In other words, what I need us to focus on is, what is your part of the past? What is your part of the story that you need to take, I need to take responsibility for? This doesn't mean you're fully responsible, but there's usually more to the story than we want to tell. And once you've assessed the story, once you've accepted your responsibility for it, well, then you can look at the other person and you can see what their part of the responsibility was. And then once you determine what their part was, you have to make the decision to let them go. The scripture calls this forgiveness. Right, Ephesians 4 says, do not give the devil an opportunity. In other words, do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give him a staging area to do harm. Look at Ephesians 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Be kind and compassionate to one another. And here it is, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I said, forgiveness does not start with a feeling. Forgiveness starts with a decision. And for some of us, the best thing that we can do today is to make the decision to let someone go. Make the decision to forgive someone. In other words, I'm making the decision to pardon them the same way that God pardoned me. In other words, I was pardoned. I was guilty. I did it, right? I didn't deserve it. God gave me what I didn't deserve. He pardoned me. The person that did it to you, they're guilty. They don't deserve it. But you're going to give to them what God gave to you. Amen. And pardon them. Decide that person that did you harm, they don't own you anymore. Right. And you're going to make the decision to forgive. And tomorrow when you wake up, you're going to make the decision again to forgive and again to forgive, because they will not control your future. Galatians 6:5, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. The fact is, you cannot control the circumstances of what will happen this year, but you can control how you react to those things. There's three kinds of people in the world. There are excusers or accusers, excusers, and choosers. Right? Accusers are always blaming someone else. Excusers always have a reason for what happened. And then there are choosers. And choosers say, I'm accepting responsibility. I'm accepting my part in this. And then I am moving forward. Here's the second part. I want to make the most of 2024. I have to believe that I can change. Stop saying I can't. Start saying I can. Right? You've heard this. The person that says I can and the person who says I can't are both right. Stop saying I can't. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. Like, let's stop using this verse before the softball game. Who cares? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Base is loaded. Here we go. That's not what this was talking about. But if you want to make the most of your 2024, claim this. If you want the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to empower you to capture what God has for you in 2024, claim this. But let's stop misusing it for things that really don't matter that much, right? I can do all things. Now, you have to ask yourself, do I believe this verse? That means if you do, it means that nothing will come your way in 2024, no problem, no situation, no circumstance that you can't handle with the Spirit of Jesus living inside of you, empowering you. You may not like it. You won't like it. But you can get through it, and you can come out on top. Listen, you have to believe that you can change and you can handle whatever circumstances come your way, because Jesus will empower you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Here's the next one. Decide what is most important. Look at Psalm 90, verse 12. We're going to finish that verse. Teach us to number our days, and here's the payoff, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, teach us to number our days. Why? Because we need wisdom. Wisdom for what? We need wisdom to know what's really important in life. We need wisdom to know what we should invest in. We need wisdom on what path we should go down. We need wisdom as to what we really want. Hey, hasn't life already proven that often what we want today is not even what we want tomorrow?
Right?
Have you ever been grateful that what you wanted back in the day is not what you got today? Isn't that what high school reunions are for? And you're like, thank you, right? Come on. Some of you know. I know. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom to know what is of most importance. Now, 1989, a guy named Stephen Covey, he wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, sold about 25 million copies. And in it, Covey wrote an exercise that is so brilliant that if you spend your time on this exercise, you will walk away knowing what is most valuable in your life. Let me just read a section from the book. It says, in your mind's eye, I shared this with you a couple years ago, but it's good. In your mind's eye, see yourself going to the funeral of a loved one. Picture yourself driving to the funeral parlor or the chapel and parking the car and getting out. And as you walk inside the building, you notice the flowers and the soft organ music playing. And you see the faces of friends and family you pass along the way. And you feel a shared sense of sorrow of the loss, the joy of having known that radiates from the hearts of the people who are there. And as you walk down to the front of the room and look inside the casket, all of a sudden you come face to face with yourself. This is your funeral, 3 years from today. All these people have come to honor you, to express feelings of love and appreciation for your life. He says, as you take a seat and wait for the service to begin, you look at the program and in your hand, and there are 4 speakers scheduled for today. The first is from your family, immediate but also extended, wife, children, brothers, sisters, nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, grandparents, all who have come from all over the country to be here to honor your life. The second set of speakers is one of your friends, someone who can give a sense of what you were about as a person. The third speaker is someone from your work, and the fourth is someone from your church or someone from your community organization that you spent time volunteering in. He goes on and he says, now think deeply. What would you like each of these speakers to say about you and your life? What kind of husband or wife or father or mother would you like their words to reflect? What kind of son or daughter or cousin? What kind of friend? What kind of work associate? What character would you like them to have seen in you? What contributions? What achievements? What would you like them to remember about you? Look carefully at the people around you. What difference would you like them to mention that you have made in their life? And here's the thing. He says, if you do this exercise, what you come up with will be what you value most. Now, on your way out, there is a value worksheet. We did this a couple years ago. For some of you, it will be new. And we listed 4 categories. You can work through this yourself. The first is your family. Well, what do you want your family to say about your character, your contributions, or your achievements? What about your closest friends? What about the work associate? Or what about someone in church? What do you want them to remember about you? And then when you gather all of this information, put it in this focus box, take all of the information, reduce it to 5 or 6 words that represent what you want people to say about you, and then do a self-awareness chart and place yourself in that bullseye. How close are you to living out what you want people to say about your life? When your friend gets up to give the eulogy, what do you want mentioned about you? And Covey continues this, we'll put it on the screen. If you carefully consider what you want to be said in the funeral experience, you will find your definition of success. you will find your definition of what is most important in life. And you know what you're going to discover is some of the things that we spend our life pursuing are not going to be on the list. Because they're just not that important. You want to make the most out of 2024? Grab the funeral exercise sheet on your way out. Spend some time in prayer, meditation. Spend some time contemplating what you want to be said about you. And if you do it well, you will determine your definition of success, what you consider to be most important in life. Teach us to live like our days are numbered because they are. Teach us to live like our days are numbered so the urgent does not bypass the important. Teach us to number our days that we may gain wisdom to not get to the end of our life and be crippled with regret. Teach us to number our days. You want to make the most of 2024? Here's my last thought. Don't wait to begin. Three words that will change your life. Do it now. Matter of fact, just turn to the person next to you and tell them, do it now. Go ahead, just tell them. Now, some of you need to turn to the other person because that person didn't seem too interested. So turn to the other person and tell them, you should do it now. Right? Do it now. Some of you are thinking, I was getting ready to leave this church. Right, then do it now. All right, whatever. Hey, life's short. Whatever you got to do, right? There will never be an ideal circumstance to start making that change in your life or to work or to a relationship. You can't wait. You just have to jump in. It's like people that say, well, you know, we're trying to plan when we have children. There's no good time to have children. Right. Let me say that again. There is no good time to have children, right? This is what Ecclesiastes says, Ecclesiastes 11. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. It's like, should I? No, not yet. Should, no, I'm going to, what, you just got to do it now. Right. Listen, whatever you feel the vision of 2024 that God is giving you, start it now. Start it today. Start it on your way out. There's no reason to wait because our days are limited. All of our time will be spent doing something. Don't fall into the when things settle down trap. I said it earlier, things will never settle down. Right. This just is what life is. So do it now. What's your vision for 2024? Without vision, my people perish. Without vision, my people cast off restraint. They go in every direction. What is your vision for 2024? Assume responsibility now. Let's start today. Because this time next year, we're going to have the same conversation. And some of us are going to be 365 days further into the future down that road. And some of us are going to still be in the starting blocks. What is your vision for your future? Psalm 90, I'll leave you with this. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why don't you just stay seated? Let me pray for you. We're going to take a moment. Going to take a moment to just kind of respond. I know I threw a lot of information at you, so now I want you to just take a moment. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you process this. Here's the prayer. Holy Spirit, what do you need to say to me today? Or what do I need to hear today? And then just listen. Maybe it's about responsibility for something in the past. Maybe it's about forgiveness, letting someone go. Maybe it's about believing that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Maybe it's about getting clarity on what is most important in life. Maybe it's about starting something the Lord already spoke to you last year, last month. And he's saying, "It's start it today. Let's go start it today." I bless you in the year to come to be all that God has created you to be, to overcome every obstacle through the power of Christ that lives in you, to maintain a measure of joy that goes beyond your circumstances. I bless you to experience more of God's presence in your life. I bless you in whatever area you need him most, that you would find him there. I bless you to wrestle this week, that you may determine what is most valuable in your life, what is really important. I bless you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so listen. Opportunity. Invite someone back next week. Let's be inviters, includers. Let's see what the Lord will do through a simple invitation. Don't forget your funeral experience card if you want to work through that. If you're a guest, I'd love to meet you. If you need prayer, come on up. We'll have someone pray for you. God bless you guys. Happy New Year.